Caesarea, he said, "What are those Jews trying to do? Can they make their city like new again? Will they offer sacrifice? Can they finish everything in a single day? The stones from the city wall and building are piled like trash, and everything has been badly burned. Can they use those stones to rebuild everything again?" Tobiah from Ammon was at Sanballat's side. He said, "What are they building? They're putting up stone walls, but suppose a fox climbs on top of it. Even that will break it down." "I pray to God," I said, "our God, please listen to our prayers. Some people hate us. They're making fun of us. So let others make fun of them. Let them be carried off like stolen goods. Let them be taken to another country as a prisoner. Don't hide your eyes from their guilt. Don't forgive their sins. They have made fun of the builders. So we are rebuilding the wall. We are repairing it until all of it was half as high as we wanted it to be. The people work with all their hearts." But Sanballat and Tobiah heard that Jerusalem walls continued to be repaired. The Arabs and some people from Ammon heard the same thing. Some men from Ashdod heard about it too. They heard they heard that the gaps in the wall were being filled in, so they burned with anger. All of them made evil plans to come and fight against Jerusalem. They wanted to stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God. We put our guard on duty day and night to watch out for danger. Thank you very much.
Glory to God. Shall we please pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We give you glory. We give you all the honor. Thank you that you are victorious and you are speaking on our behalf. Thank you for the victory you've won for us, Lord Jesus. And even as we look into your word, you are at work in our lives. We pray your grace to make meaning to one another today. We also pray, Lord, that you will move and take absolute control. We commit our hearts into your hands. Help us to get what you have for us today, that we may be a blessing. We might go out and be a blessing to the rest of this world. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, as we saw last week, it was all about the building of the work. When Nehemiah got back to Jerusalem and the walls and the gates were down, he encouraged the Jews to come together and rebuild Jerusalem. I want to give us a little bit of a background about why it's important to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Jerusalem initially was a pagan city. The Amorites ruled over there. They lived there. They went for God. They did evil things there. They worshipped idols. And so God, through David, won that city. And when he won the city, he rebuilt it. And God placed himself in Jerusalem. The temple was built in Jerusalem. There was high places that were built over there for God's worship. And so it became a thing for the Jews who were all over the world to travel to Jerusalem 3 times a year to go and worship over there. And while they were doing this, God had always told the Jews that if they offended him, if they did not worship him, he will scatter them around the world and he will give them into the hands of their enemies. And so through their disobedience, God gave them into the hands of their enemies. So that city for a long time was made desolate. The walls were broken down. Basically, the Persians came in and dealt with them. And so they took some away. That's where you have Daniel, you have Esther, you have Ezra, who came and rebuilt the the temple and all that. So that is the background of it. And so it was important in the life of the Jews, while they had got the opportunity now to go back home to rebuild their city again. But coming all the way to Nehemiah, Nehemiah heard news that the walls, even though some Jews had had the opportunity to go back home, the wall, they had built the city to a certain point, but the walls were still down and the gates were destroyed. So Nehemiah, with a burden for taking care of that which belongs to God, he prayed that God would take him back. And so he had gone back. He went to meet the leaders of the place. He reassembled them. And by God's grace, work had begun. Last week, we saw how the work was going on. It was all about work. People coming together, families coming together to rebuild the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. The work was going on. And the word of God says, but it so happened when Sambalat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant. We already have heard that Sambalat wasn't happy from the first time he heard that the walls were going to be built in chapter 2 verse 10. Also, chapter 2 verse 19, we see the same thing going on. He was furious and very indignant over there. Now, mocked the Jews. Now he mocked the Jews. The nature of their discouraging attack is evident. They used a mock, sarcastic tone and mocked the Jews. You see, they knew that they couldn't stop the building, the rebuilding of the walls and the gates, because Nehemiah came with authority, higher authority from the Persian king to rebuild the walls. And so what did they do? They chose a different strategy. This morning, I'm speaking on enemies' attempt to stop the work. Enemies attempt to stop the work. In any time God gives us a vision, gives us a purpose, gives us something within our hearts to serve God and to do for God, the enemy, our ultimate enemy, is Satan. Satan will rise against it. He will use people and he will sort ways and means to discourage us from fulfilling this purpose. And that's exactly what is happening here. As he saw that there was progress being done, as they saw, Sambalat was indignant. He was not happy. But he could not attack them physically because he didn't have authority. The king from Persia had given the authority. So they chose a different strategy, which was to discourage the Jews from rebuilding the wall. This is one of the strategies the enemy will most of the time use. He knows he does not have power and authority over us, because the Lord that we serve, Jesus Christ, has the ultimate power and authority. And so he does not have control over us. There is nothing he can do. And so in our effort to live for Jesus, in our effort to honor Jesus, the only way he can sort to stop us and to hinder us from becoming who or fulfilling the purpose Jesus has given us is one way: to discourage us. They used mockery. Will they sacrifice? This has the idea of, will they seek God through sacrifice and expect him to miraculously build the wall? Would they pray the wall up? Would they complete it in a day? Has the idea of, do they have any idea what they are taking on? This isn't an easy project. It is true. Look, to rebuild, for us ourselves, individually, personally, when you know you are not living for God and you have to now start living for God, it is not an easy thing. It's not something you can get up one day and say, okay, I'm now all perfect, I'm living for God. It's a process. It's a hard work. It's a difficult thing to do. Not just that, when God has given us all as a vision here as a church to rebuild this church and go into our community and save and work with our community in being a blessing to our community, it is not an easy task. It is not an overnight thing. It is not simple. It's not something easy to do. And so, can we do it is the question. Will we do it is the question. Are we willing to face up with the task of doing this? This is not easy. This is not easy. There is truth in it. The walls were all down. And so, Sambalat and Tobiah are laughing at them. Do they really think they can do this? I bet you people have been listening to our sermons and they are laughing. Can these people really do it? Maybe you, your decision that you have now even made to live for Jesus, putting things together in your own home. Maybe even your own wife is laughing at you. You, this man, can you do this? You've lived this life for donkey years. Now you want to say you're coming to start living for Jesus? Can you really do this? To discourage you, to kill your spirit, your desire and your drive to live for the Lord, to do something for the Lord. Can you do it? You have been a drunk all these years. Now you are telling me you are going to stop drinking alcohol? You've been addicted to this issue for a long time. You've been watching pornography for how long? Now you are telling me you're going to stop watching pornography? Can you really do it? The devil will keep on bringing it to your memory, discouraging you. For instance, when you were training for your race, you've been eating all this junk food. Can you really lose weight? You've been living this way. You've tried. How many times have you tried and failed to live for Jesus and you haven't? Can you do it? Oh, West Hudson Christian Center as a church. How many times have you been saying we are going to win our name, we are going to work in our community, we are going to be a blessing, and you haven't been able to do anything? How many years was our former pastor here and he said the same things and you couldn't do it? Can you really do it? These are the things the devil will be speaking to you, and it is his plot to discourage us, to lose courage and enthusiasm in the calling and the vision and the purpose and the will for God, of God for our lives, that we might not be able to achieve anything. Can they do it in a day? Would they really pray themselves? You see how now we've been praying. Oh, somebody might be saying, can they really do this in prayer? Do you think prayer is what is going to change things here? You, this African, you can't even speak English well. You think you can do this work? You, this Caribbean, you can't even sing well. Your accent is poor. Do you think you can go and win souls? Will they pray their walls up? Will they pray their walls up? Are you any special? Do you know how many prayers we have seen? Do you know how many people who have come here and it's still the same? Courage is being smashed. The devil is seeking to discourage us. Discouragement is such a powerful weapon because it is somewhat the opposite of faith. Where faith believes God and his love and promises, discouragement looks for and believes the worst and tends to pretty much forget about who God is and what he has promised to do. Do you see it? Unbelief. Can I really do this? He will paint the negativity in you so much that you start to doubt yourself. I can't do it. But I want to remind us that we serve a living God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a great God, the creator, the master of all things. Look, think of it this way. Jerusalem was a pagan land. But yet still, God chose it. He cleansed it and he chose to stay there. You see, God does cleansing. It doesn't matter the history of something or somewhere. But when God chooses to cleanse the thing, he does it. We serve the supreme and ultimate power. His name is Yahweh. And so remember, whatever you're going through, whatever you're trying to do, that you are being reminded every day and every second that you cannot do it. Remember that you serve a greater God. You have a higher power and authority. And that name is Jesus. The devil will try to discourage you, remind you of your failings. He will remind you of where you come from, who you are. But let me tell you, Jesus has won the victory. He has overcome. They even said that foxes, if a fox stand on their wall, it will break. You see the lie that he will tell you? The devil will lie to you. But there is always some element of truth in the discouragement. You know you couldn't do this. How many times have you tried to be married and you couldn't stay a married woman or a married man? Isn't this your fourth wife or isn't this your fourth guy? Can you really stay with this guy to the end? You see, the truth is there. The first time you messed it up. The second time you messed it up. The third time you messed it up. The fourth time you've messed it up. So this fifth time too, he will tell you you will mess it up. But God is a supreme God. God can take that which is a mess and turn it into beauty. He can turn your ashes into beauty. Your ashes into beauty. He made David, King David, the husband stealer, the murderer, the wife stealer, the murderer, to become one who is after his own heart. Do you see? God worked on David's heart. God can work on your heart. You believe him. They were furious and indignant and mocked the Jews. They mocked. But look, Hebrews 10, 38, 39 says, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 to 39 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to what? Perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of their souls. Who believe to the saving of their souls. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus can make something with you. Jesus can do something with West Hudson Christian Center. It doesn't matter the gossips who are here. If you are a gossip, you change. That's why we are rebuilding. Change your attitude. If you are not right, change your behavior. Repent and ask God to save you. And believe. Let us all believe that it is possible. That it is possible. Now the next point is from 4 to 5. Nehemiah comes against a discouragement attack with prayer. With what? Prayer. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to all land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blot out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders. Hear, O God. Here, Nehemiah's response was a great example. He didn't debate. He didn't form a committee. He didn't even deal with the two enemies directly. Instead, he took it to God in prayer. What kind of challenge are you facing? Pray. That's why I've been encouraging us to pray. You see, most of the time, your physical state tells you how spiritual you are. Pray. pray, spend time in prayer. Nehemiah heard the discouragement and the news, and the first thing he does, he starts to talk to his father. Don't start moving. Don't start doing things. And then you feel like, okay, now let me bring God in. Let God take the front line. Remember your God that you serve. It is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. Saith, it is God saying it, that it is His Spirit that will do the work. It is Him who will do the work. Remember that it is Him who has to do the work, not you. So the issues you are facing at work, don't try looking for solutions. This community, how we will come together and be a blessing in our community, honestly, it is God that has to bring the initiatives. Going to Alaris, we just prayed and we went to sit down with their manager. The manager that is moving on from the company, she's no more there. But she gave us the opportunity to go and be a blessing there. If we pray and we involve God from the beginning, He will take charge, He will lead us, and He will guide our path. So Nehemiah prayed. Nehemiah needed God to remind him. God had always been with Nehemiah. Throughout the process, you see that God was present in Nehemiah's life. But the way he prayed, he said, "Hear me, hear me, O God. Hear me, O our God." He had to be reminded that God is with him. There are times where we get into situations that are very challenging. That is when you go into your secret place and say, "Lord, speak to me. Give me an encouragement. Give me something. Tell me something, Lord God. Show me a way." We bless you. We praise you. We give you glory and we give you honor. Shall we please settle down in the house? Shall we please settle down in the house? Glory to God. Show me a way. He needed God's encouragement. And if we can only make ourselves available, God will encourage us through our difficulties. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. In his prayer, Nehemiah first asks for God's attention and mercy. God did care about Nehemiah and the work of rebuilding, but Nehemiah needed God to display it. And he also needed to sense God's presence and care. We need God's presence and care. We need to sense it. We need to feel it. And if you allow God that way, he will always let you know he's with you. There's been many times I've gone to him in prayer. And the moment I start praying, he will encourage me. He will give me a word. He will send help. A friend will ring me so many times. I have gone through so many difficult times. And a friend will call me, sometimes all the way from UK. "Hey, PK, I was praying and God says I should tell you this." And I know when they call that they have heard from God. And this is a message coming to me from the Father. Do not despise prayer. Turn their reproach on their own heads. Give them a plunder. Do not cover their iniquity. Nehemiah then asked God to battle their enemies for them. He depended on God to fight the battle. God gave him a work to do, and he would not be distracted from it. This prayer means pretty tough. It is true. This prayer, when you read it, it's like, well, is Nehemiah praying a vengeance prayer or what? But the prayer is the, is in, for example, when you look at Psalms, there are a few. Psalms say, brought out their teeth in their mouth. Psalm 58:6. Let their, and then when you look at Psalm 69:25, let their dwelling place be desolate. Let no one live in their tents. It is proper for a child of God to pray such a prayer because they are giving their violent inclinations over to God and let Him deal with the matter. Don't go and try it. I tell you, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and authorities. If you try to go and argue your case out, you will lose. That is where the devil wants you. You will lose. Pray. You just go and pray your violent prayer, your so-called violent prayer to God, and allow God Himself to handle the matter. Vengeance is God's. When you're angry about a situation, Father, I pray this. And we have to remember, when we are praying, we are not dealing with the people directly. We are dealing with the spirit that is working behind the scene. And so you will hear me do some dangerous things and say some dangerous things. Father, in the name of Jesus, let thunder strike. When you hear me say that, don't think I want thunder to come and strike some human being. No, 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 no. I am speaking to my Father. And when His child comes to Him like that, He also moves mightily. Nowhere to wage your war. No, it's not faces. I'm the most smiling guy. Hello, my dear sister. I know you hate me, but I'll smile with you. But when I go into my prayer room, if you heard the things I was praying about, you will not try to hate me or try to mount up any attack against me. Don't let the devil use you as a child of God. Because some people can pray, and there are things they will tell the Father. This Sanballat and Tobiah had been messing up. They were challenging the church, the rebuild of the temple, doing this with Ezra. So now Nehemiah has come, and they thought they could do the same things to Nehemiah. But they did not realize that Nehemiah knows God in a different way. And Nehemiah can pray certain kinds of prayers. They didn't know this. And so they thought the same tricks could work against Nehemiah. But Nehemiah was a certain prayer warrior that you don't mess about with. The same demons that have been in operation here for years, they know in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, they do not have authority here. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would deal with them mightily. Deal with any attitude, any spirit, any entity that seeks to rule and take authority here. For Lord, you are the Lord. You are the master. Let thunder strike and let fire deal with any enemy in the name of Jesus. Nehemiah prayed. The result after the attack. Nehemiah prayed. You need to pray, child of God. Don't love your bed. I don't know why some of us love our bed so much. We know very well the devil is at work in our life. But we will sleep. We will go and do everything else. I tell you, some of the things that people do. Oh, me and my friend, we are having a net sling. You sit down and watch Netflix throughout the night. What? We are watching a net fling. Huh? Oh, I'm meeting some friends. We are playing Wii tonight. We are playing, and then we mention the game. Oh, we are playing Master of Doom. Hey! Child of God. Is this what you're wasting your time on? Telephone calls. We gossip. We spend time gossiping when we are supposed to be praying. Guys, we spend time. And these days, we have found nice programs on TVs to watch. Oh, this one is nice, beautiful. It's good. The devil will have you sitting there watching it all day. He will literally be bringing you juice. He will bring you all the code. He will lift your foot and put it on the thing and massage it for you. Make you feel very comfortable like that. He is very good. He will give you ideas what to do. Oh, get the ice cream from the fridge. Oh, that cold one, that one. Oh, get some cold pump. He will make you very comfortable while you are comfortably enjoying his comfort. He is causing harm in the dangerous places in your life. My dear sisters and my brothers, we are in a battlefield. Whether you like it or not, you did not ask for it, but it is coming at you. And so you better get up and face it with the fire that it deserves to burn out of your life. And so as a church, we need to value prayer. We read the word of God. We quote the word of God. We believe in the word of God. We hold it and we say, Lord, let this word work in my life. Let this word start to perform in my community. I want to see the gates of this place open to the rest of this world. And you will see people will start coming in. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the gates of the south, the gates of the east, the gates of the north, the gates of the south will be open in this church. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will win the nations. You will bring every person in this community, whether they are black, whether they are white, whether they are whatever they are, their background, whatever ethnicity it is, we are willing for the challenge. Whoever they are, let them walk into this place in the name of Jesus. And as we pray, you will then start seeing the Indians walking in. Oh, I'm looking for a church. Oh, yes, over here we even minister to Indians too. You will see, oh, the Americans walking with their American walks. Yeah, I'm looking for, oh yes, over here we minister to every kind of person. And you see the African will come in with his African. I am looking for a church. Yes, over here we minister to Africans. Sometimes we may not even be ready, but when they come, we make the room. We create the opportunity. We are ready to face the challenges. These people were building the walls. It wasn't easy, but they were willing to face the challenge. Be willing, a child of God. Be willing. Be willing. So 7 and 8. Let's look at 7 and 8. The conspiracy to attack. Now the devil has chosen a different strategy. The first one was discouragement. Now he has used a different attack. Now it happened. Then Sambalat, Tobiah, and the Arab, the Amorite, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. To come and attack. The gaps were beginning to be closed together. Now they can literally see that, look, these people are making progress. We must be willing to do the work. All of them conspired together to come and attack. As the work progressed, the enemies became very serious. Now, they didn't simply complain or mock. They threatened and planned for violence. Do you see what is happening here? Now, they are going to use another strategy of the enemy, fear. Let us now plan to go and attack them. Fear. If I do this, if I do what God is telling me, if I do this, what is he going to do? What is going to happen? Yesterday, I got the opportunity of speaking to a brother about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our living God. And all he kept on saying, I'm afraid. I said, fear. Fear is holding a lot of us in captivity. Fear. It is the enemy's strategy to demoralize you, to make you weak. If he can win in getting you be afraid of who you are as a child of God or what you are about to accomplish, he has been victorious. So watch it. When you start to be afraid, God says that he has not given you a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. So don't be afraid of anything. You serve the mightiest God, the creator of all things. What are you afraid of? Do not fear the pestilence that fly at night. And create confusion. Another strategy. They wanted to come and create confusion. If we can create confusion among the people, if what God has called us to do here, if he can come in and create confusion amongst us, then he will be successful somehow. So be very careful when you want to be the source of the confusion. Sambalat and Tobiah, they were enemies of Israel. But some of us here, you are not enemies to me. I see you as brothers and sisters, all of us here. But yet still, some of us allow ourselves for the enemy to use us to bring confusion. Don't allow that. Because it would have been you giving yourself to the enemy to use you. But again, look at what Nehemiah did. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 9. The attack defended by prayer and watching. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. See, Nehemiah heard the news that they are coming to attack. He prayed even more. He prayed even more. I can imagine some Holy Ghost sanctified people telling him, look, we don't need to put up any watchmen and that. Let us just keep praying. These people cannot do anything. And I can imagine Nehemiah saying, yes, we need to pray. But anyway, let us have the guards. Prayer is not substitute for actions we need to take. Don't forget that, a child of God. Pray first, but now let God lead you into actions you need to take. Hear from God into actions you need to take. I think I have preached this here before. David went to battle, and when he came, his whole family, his entire home and his men, their homes had been taken and their wives and children taken away. David prayed and God guided him what to do. And so he went after the enemy until he was able to retrieve the families. My dear sisters and my brothers, take action. This tells us that as human beings, there might be areas in our life that we need to work on. And we need to take the necessary physical steps in doing this. If you know you are battling with alcoholism, you don't get up and say, oh, you are a new soul now, so you go to the bar to go and win souls over there. You don't do that. Oh, I'm now Holy Ghost filled. I'm going to the world to win the souls. And you call your ex-girlfriend first. Jesus has given me a word. I want to come and share it with you. And then you go to your girlfriend whom you were fornicating with. And while you are supposed to be winning soul, you rather get being won for the devil. Let us put up the necessary steps. If you are battling with an addiction, yes, pray. But also be willing to work on accountability. Pay attention to the most areas in your life that needs attention. Don't put prayer and cover it with that facade. Oh, I'm okay. I'm all right. I've prayed and I'm all right. Excuse me. You know very well you are not. Seek for help. Come out. Seek for help. Seek for accountability. Let somebody walk with you and help you through the process. Don't think you've got it all under control. And so over here, you see, we have new guidance going on with all the ministries. Ushers are operating differently these days. Let's give glory to God for what they do. God bless you. And all the ministry leaders, God bless you. All the ministry staff, God bless you. We are putting the necessary things in place. We are putting them in place. We are not just here praying. We just don't pray here. We pray and we act. We pray and we act. We pray and we act. And we see God give us victory. So they set watch day and night. My dear brothers and sisters, the sermon has come to an end. These people had a mind of togetherness.